Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The Milwaukee Film Festival opens in less than 2 weeks. This year's festival marks 10 years in its current incarnation, and the first which will feature a renovated Oriental Theater as home to Milwaukee Film.
Before audiences can see this year's selected films with their popcorn handy, writer and Milwaukee Magazine cultural editor Lindsay Anderson joins us for a history lesson on the festival and a revealing look into the people who made it happen, the subject of a feature in this month's magazine.
Anderson joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio to share the story of the festival. She starts by explaining how the East Side Theater figures into Milwaukee Film's success.
Well, the Oriental Theater, I think, has always really been the crown jewel. It's Milwaukee's grandest movie palace. It's just a beautiful venue. It has three historical auditoriums. It's something that a lot of filmmakers who come through the city comment on. A lot of cities don't have theaters like the Oriental. Milwaukee does. It's one of the festival's main selling points. So it makes sense that the festival would be interested in having a little bit more control over programming in the space. It also makes sense that the festival would just want a venue of its own in general. In past years, they've had to work with theater owners and sort of work around their schedules to figure out how to slot the films in for the festival. And I think the theaters are generally excited to work with Milwaukee Film, but they have their own concerns as well. And those
are a lot
of
time commitment,
too. Yeah, those are going to take priority for them, too. So this just frees Milwaukee Film up to devote one of the biggest, most beautiful theaters in the city to the film festival and just really set the stage for that experience.
Well, and it really does make the film festival a different experience when you go to this film palace that was designed as, a form of escapism from the world versus, okay, let's go see this international film, say, at a Marcus Theater. It's not going to have
Absolutely.
As much
impact. It's an entire experience. You go in, there's chandeliers, there's those lions sculptures, the Buddhas with the glowing eyes. It's just being in the theater itself is part of the experience and being in the audience and seeing the other people there. So I think that's definitely one of the highlights.
Yeah. And with the Milwaukee Film Fest, they also do a good job of incorporating other local theaters across the city to fill screens. But I want to harken back to kind of the first big film festival here in Milwaukee.
Sure.
And that was the Milwaukee International Film Festival in 2002 that was kind of shepherded, or I suppose that's a good word,
shepherded
by the Shepherd Express. Can you go into a little bit of the history behind that effort?
Yeah, absolutely. So Louis Fortas, who is the publisher and now also editor-in-chief of the Shepherd Express, realized that at the time, Milwaukee was actually one of the largest cities in the country without a major film festival of its own. And people here, you know, love the arts. They're interested in film. He thought it was strange that we didn't have a film festival of the caliber of a lot of other cities in the country. So he decided to set out to create that festival. And he figured, I think, that because the Shepherd runs so much arts and entertainment coverage, that they were sort of uniquely positioned to launch that festival.
Yeah, and so they focused on films that specifically could break down barriers and educate audiences about the wider world, which I feel has been still a consistent theme.
Absolutely. It would make sense to point out, too, that I think the first person they hired was Jonathan Jackson. They reached out to him early on. That was something he was interested in as well. And then so even when the Shepherds stepped away from the festival and it became a Milwaukee Film's project, Jonathan Jackson was still there. He was still interested in promoting these international films by up-and-coming young auteurs.
Can you explain the somewhat tumultuous transition of Milwaukee International Film Fest under the Shepherd to Milwaukee Film under that new leadership?
Sure. And I should say to start off with that the character of the transition, I think, depends on who you talk to. So how Fortas will describe it is different than how Chris Abele or Jonathan Jackson would describe it. But essentially, I think everyone agrees on the idea that the Milwaukee International Film Festival quickly became a pretty big audience success. It grew every year. More and more people attended the festival every year. But it had a very small board. There were only three people on the board. They were all Shepherd Express employees. And of course, all of them had additional full-time jobs at the Shepherd Express. So there was some concern that the festival was sort of outgrowing its roots and that it was becoming too big for this three-man Shepherd Express board to manage. And then depending on who you talk to, Fortis and Abley either were able to somewhat amicably hash things out initially and were talking through a transition and through this idea of having the Shepherd step down and hand over control to Milwaukee Film, or they weren't amicably talking and there was like a little bit of a bitter feud there. And that led to Fortis filing a lawsuit against Chris Abley, who ended up creating a separate 501c3 nonprofit called Milwaukee Film and sort of founding his own film festival with Jonathan Jackson's help that was separate from the Shepherd Express.
And a lot of other Shepherd Express employees who were involved in the international film also followed into Milwaukee Film. So do you think people maybe will view Milwaukee Film a little differently after learning about this background story?
Well, maybe. I mean, I will say I think Milwaukee Film is one of the most successful, interesting nonprofits in this city. I don't think anyone thinks they aren't doing great work. And I think even back then, all of the people involved, they did what they did because they wanted the festival to be as good as it possibly could be. So there's like a clash of egos. But I didn't get the sense that people were fighting just for the sake of fighting. They all cared about the film festival. They just had very different ideas of what direction it should go in and how to make it the best possible festival. And Louis Fortis and Chris Abley definitely disagreed about which direction they thought it should go in. So, yeah, I guess I would just say that.
Did Fortis mention what he thinks now of the way the direction Milwaukee Film has gone in?
He did say he's very proud of the fact that he sort of paved the way for the current incarnation of the film festival. And he did specifically also mention that he was particularly proud of the fact that he was able to bring so many international films and filmmakers into the city. I mean, I'm assuming a little bit here, but I think he would still be pleased to see that that is still a hallmark of the Milwaukee Film Festival as well.
Well, it certainly helped pave the way for the sustainability of the Oriental as well.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. That's another thing. Yeah.
One of the key players involved that you mentioned is Jonathan Jackson. So what was his role back in 2002 that they brought him on to do that?
They brought him on as a programmer. At the time, he was working for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with their theater programming student films there. And from what I hear, he was doing a wonderful job. It was before I moved to the city. But from what I hear, he drove up attendance numbers. He had a great mind, A, for programming, but B, for kind of marketing and figuring out how to bring people into the theater and get people excited about the films. And he was just great at being able to fuse those two skills.
One thing that I enjoyed finding out was that he had his own history in the Oriental Theater, and he used to work there, you know, cleaning up after midnight screenings of, you know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So the Oriental has been a big part of his life, and now it's kind of reached that culmination where he is running the building and what it stands for. So how has that kind of relationship with the theater influenced his decisions and how Milwaukee Film is operating?
Well, he told me when I interviewed him that his first night in Milwaukee, he moved here from Cleveland actually to study film at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. His first night in the city, he, you know, didn't have anything else to do. Classes hadn't started yet. So he wandered over to the Oriental Theater to catch a screening, I think he said, of Darren Aronofsky's Pi, and immediately fell in love with the space. So I feel like in some sense you could really say that he's had this ongoing love affair with the Oriental Theater from literally day one of his time in the city. And from what I hear, a lot of people who work for Milwaukee Film have sort of had gotten the sense that the Oriental was something he had sort of always had his eye on. He loved the theater. It really is Milwaukee's grandest movie palace. He also really wanted Milwaukee Film to have its own venue. So it sounds like he was always just sort of hoping, waiting that they might be able to put a bid in to lease out the theater.
One thing that I think makes not only Milwaukee unique, but Milwaukee Film is its commitment to hosting the events in these old theaters. And as of August, the Oriental reopened under Milwaukee Film with some new renovation projects. So one very exciting thing is that the new women's bathroom is in the base. Eight stalls, I counted. So, and things like, you know, they're doing this in stages, but they're repairing the plaster in the ceiling.
Right.
They put in a new screen, new sound system to have a good blend of modern tech so that you can enjoy the film to the best of your ability, but still keep that escapism, all the decoration, everything that makes the Oriental what you look for when you go for that experience. And with the lease signed up to 2049.
Yep. 31 years.
Yeah. What can we expect, or what has been hinted at by Milwaukee Film of its plans for the Oriental to have this leadership for this much time?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, they've already been hard at work modernizing the theater. I think maybe it's important to say, too, they intend to keep this theater aesthetically essentially the same it's always been. Everyone loves the way it looks. They have no intention of, you know, ripping down ornaments or changing up the decorations. I also think that we're going to start to see more interesting programming happening there. A lot of people don't realize that Milwaukee Film doesn't just put on an annual film festival. They also work on year-round programming. So now that they control the Oriental year-round, I think we're going to start to see smaller film festivals popping up the theater, too. They already had a motorcycle-themed festival pegged to Harley-Davidson's 115th anniversary earlier this year. I think we're going to see more things like that. And I think we're going to see more films made by Milwaukeeans and Wisconsinites, too.
Well, and that seems like it's also a goal of Jackson and Chris Abley and other people who have invested a lot into the Oriental Milwaukee Film is to make Milwaukee a hub for not just film viewing, but filmmakers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the BRICO Forward Fund has been instrumental in doing that. Over the last few years, they've started awarding these grants, significant grants, $50,000 grants, to aspiring and budding filmmakers in the city and the rest of Wisconsin. And that's the kind of thing that can make and break your career, really. I mean, if you're given those kinds of resources early on and that kind of encouragement, I mean, that can take you as high as you want to go, really. And I think we saw that, too, with last year's centerpiece screening, The Blood at the Doorstep. That was made by a Milwaukee filmmaker, and he received one of those grants. So I think it just goes to show how much of an impact they can have.
Milwaukee Film and the festival already has a pretty strong fan base, I would say. But what are the efforts in bringing in everyone in Milwaukee to be excited about projects like these, you know, outside of our film festival season?
Yeah, well, I think they've done a good job in the past creating special programs like Black Lens to sort of bring in different groups who might not have known too much about the organization before and sort of spotlight programs and films that are of particular interest to certain segments of the population, certain communities. And I think they're trying to do even more on that front this year. They've announced several new programs, including one, I think it's called Genre Queer, to sort of highlight LGBTQ experiences in film. They're also launching one that spotlights German cinema and another that targets teenage viewers to teen screen. So I think they're always just sort of really thinking about how they can pull in new audiences and maybe shine a light on films that are of particular interest to those communities, and then also set up sort of panel discussions and events surrounding those film screenings to get people excited about those, too.
It seems like through your interviews with people like Jonathan Jackson and Chris Abley that their intention is to not just make Milwaukee Film a Sundance caliber, but keep it Milwaukee-centric. Because we know that Sundance is a massive film festival. A lot of people go there just for the films. But it seems like their focus is about the city year-round and wanting to raise its status, but yet still keep that that first community-centric mind that was there since the International Film Festival. What did you learn about these people that you interviewed for this story? Did anything surprise you or stand out?
Well, I think one of the most striking things that Chris Abele said, and that also rang true for me, is that I think as Milwaukeeans, we have a tendency to undersell ourselves a little bit. People here like Milwaukee, but they're not quick to assume that we can put on the same caliber of festival that Sundance can. You know, I think that we have this sort of idea that we're just sort of a mid-sized Midwestern city. We can put on good festivals, but we can't put on great or amazing ones. And he says no to that. And also, I think he pointed out that Summerfest, you know, now is the largest music festival in the world. And the reason it was able to become that successful and get that big is because when people were told, hey, this is Milwaukee, you can't shoot for first best, they were just like, no, we can. We can do whatever we want. We can put on a world-class festival here. There's interest here. People support the arts here. We can absolutely do it.
All right, Lindsay. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to this year's Film Fest.
Thank you.
Lindsay Anderson is cultural editor at Milwaukee Magazine. The October issue includes a feature on Milwaukee Film's 10-year history, as well as some helpful film festival tips. You can find a link to the magazine's website from WUWM.com.